Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and you are listening to What Women Must Know. And this is a weekly show dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And I want to thank you for joining me for another opportunity to have an in-depth conversation that will really expand your horizons and give you much more strategies that you can use for yourself, for your friends, for your family, because that's what it's all about. That's what being empowered is all about, is being able to have the resources that will support you in staying healthy, and if you need to regain your health, then you will learn those strategies as well. So get ready, because we have another fantastic show in store for you today, a wonderful interview. Before we jump into things, for those of you who may be listening for the first time, I want to welcome you to What Women Must Know. It's great having you here. And also, please visit my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com. I have some great free gifts that I send to you when you opt in. And also, all of the archive shows will be sent to everyone on my list. So if you want to be sure to catch every single show, which I'm sure you do, then just opt in to whatwomenmustknow.com. Or you can go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, and like me over there, because I also post all of my shows on my Facebook page. But in addition, I post on a daily basis great articles, information, studies, just the best things that I can find each day to continually support you in learning and healing and getting truthful information, which to me is really the challenge these days. So check it out. It's What Women Must Know, which is my Facebook page, and What Women Must Know is my website. So hope to see you there. And let's talk about my very special guest today. We're going to be exploring the best natural solutions for healing breast cancer with my very dear friend, Dr. Véronique Desaunier, better known as Dr. V. Everyone knows her as Dr. V, so we'll talk about her as Dr. V. And Dr. V is really an inspiration in the world of supporting women, creating a community of women who are going through a breast cancer journey, or have gone through it, or want to protect themselves from ever going down that track. She has such wealth of information, and I just want to share a little bit about her. Because of her passion for health and wellness, Dr. V undertook extensive studies in various fields of energy medicine, specializing in chiropractic, bioenergetics, meridian stress analysis, homeopathy, and digital thermography. Dr. V brings a unique approach to health and wellness. After 30 years in active practice, she decided to, quote-unquote, retire, funny word to be using for her, and devote her time sharing her personal non-toxic healing journey with breast cancer. Her years of experience and research have culminated in the Seven Essentials, a step-by-step coaching program. Dr. V is the number one best-selling author and has a number one best-selling book on Amazon, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally. Her website and her personal healing journey have touched the lives of thousands of women around the world. And her website is healbreastcancernaturally.org. And as always, people who have a mission and a passion are usually people who have gone through their own healing journey, healing crisis, and have come through on the other side and now have found a mission in their lives. And that's certainly true with Dr. V and her work with women and breast cancer. So first of all, I am just so happy to welcome Dr. V to the show today. Hello, Dr. V.
Hi, Dr. Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me on the show again. It's always a pleasure to connect with you personally and professionally.
Well, same here, and you've been a guest several times on the show because you just are always researching and learning and creating new programs and updating all of us. So it's wonderful that you've created some time in your very busy life these days to spend this time with us, and I know you have lots of really wonderful things that you want to be sharing. So just jump right in. You know, for people who have not had the pleasure of meeting you or have not read your book, The Seven Essentials, maybe we can just briefly touch on what it was that brought you to this place in your life and to this mission that you have.
Well, I'm a chiropractor by profession, and what really opened the cancer platform for me was when my father died of pancreatic cancer in 1983. You know, way back then, I knew that something could have been done for him, but of course, traditional medicine just sent him home to die, which he did in about 6 weeks. So that really lit a fire in my soul, and I started doing research. Back then, no internet, so went to the library, called a few natural cancer clinics, which were a few and far between back then, but really started realizing that there were things that could be done for patients that were diagnosed with cancer. And then, you know, fast forward a few years, I you know, really brought all that information into my practice and was seeing people from literally all over North America because of the results we were getting. And, you know, it wasn't me doing the work, but they were just applying the principles of natural healing and natural medicine, and we're seeing amazing things turn around. And then the fateful day when I was in the shower and doing a self-breast exam on, you know, before I went to work, I felt that lump that literally changed the course of my life. And it was quite a shock. You know, here I was, Dr. V, helping all these people regain their health, but here I was faced with an issue with breast cancer. So that led me to, you know, down the rabbit hole of really researching and trying to understand, if somebody like me could develop cancer, you know, what did I miss? I mean, I was in the wellness field. I was under chiropractic care. I ate organic before organic was in style. I took supplements. You know, I had home births. I breastfed my kids. I mean, I exercised. I did everything right, or so I thought. But as I started diving deeper into the issues, I realized that there were some pieces of the puzzle that I'd missed. So if I could miss those pieces, how much more frustrating would be for the average person or the average woman who's trying to put a protocol together so that they can, you know, never fear cancer again. And so that's what led me to develop the Seven Essential System. Basically, it's a step-by-step guide that takes you out of confusion and out of frustration into empowerment and helps you to realize that you can heal your body. You don't have to fear cancer. You know, we know that traditional medicine has created this awful picture. I mean, just say the word cancer, and what do you think of? You know, dying a very slow, torturous death. But it doesn't have to be that way.
And, you know, that's really the message and the hope you give to women, because you've traveled down this path in life and had to learn, and now you're creating amazing programs that are supporting women all over the world to regain their health. But, you know, it's not just about regaining your health, as you said. It's like understanding all the components that have contributed to this manifestation of imbalance in your body, and to really begin the journey of healing of your life, really, your life that needs to be healed. And that's different for each person. What, you know, what needs to be addressed could be cleaning up the environment, could be cleaning up your emotional wounds, could be reconnecting with your spiritual self, and so much more.
And that's so true. That's such a good point, because it's not just about getting rid of the lump or the bump. It's about changing your life, because everything that you've done that's brought you to this point has given you those results. So what can you do to change things so you don't keep getting the same results? You have to change your life. You have to change your perspective, whether, you know, it's your food, your lifestyle, how you manage your stress, emotional healing, spiritual connection, all that is so important.
So what would you say to someone who just received a diagnosis of breast cancer?
The first thing I would say...
What are some of the... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. The first thing I would say would be, you have time and don't panic, because there's often a lot of pressure from doctors and from family. Oh, you have cancer. You need to listen to your doctor. You need to do this, 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 and this. You have time. It's not like you're dying of a heart attack. cancer is not a critical situation. Sometimes it may be if there's a large tumor and it's blocking an artery or your digestive system, yes. Then at that point, it's an emergency situation. But with breast cancer, for example, most of the time, it's not an emergency critical situation. So you have time to look at your options, to breathe through the process, to embrace what you're going to be facing for the next few years, because it's a life-changing event.
Yeah, and, you know, it's usually so daunting for women. I would say 99% of women who have a diagnosis are not prepared for it, not prepared for, what options, what of the many options are open to them, especially mm-hmm. if they've never investigated any alternative holistic, medical paradigms, healing paradigms. And I think that's what seems daunting when women are starting to learn a lot more because they're forced to, because they now have a reason to really investigate what are the options. And it's important that they do, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And recognize that, you have many choices. It's not just you have to do it a certain way, but you have so many options out there now, and there's so many great resources, whether you work with a naturopath or an integrative oncologist or an integrative doctor or, people like The Truth About Cancer or people like me, who really help guide women through the process. So it takes away a lot of the fear and it gives them a lot of clarity.
So I guess the first message we really want to give to everyone listening is that you can heal breast cancer. You can heal breast cancer, and that there are many ways to do that, depending on the path each person chooses. But mm-hmm. there are many paths that will let you actually heal breast cancer without necessarily having to go down a chemotherapy radiation path if you don't want to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, one of the myths that I'd like to really bust for women out there, because one of the fears that traditional medicine imparts to them is that your hormones are causing this cancer. Your estrogen, your progesterone is driving this cancer, so we have to, stop those hormones in your body. But we need our hormones for every function. We need it for our brain health, our heart health, our immune system, our bone health, everything. So if you cut off your hormones, then you're opening up a whole can of worms. And, many of the medications that are prescribed are labeled carcinogenic, according to the World Health Organization and the American Cancer Society. So it doesn't make sense, but, doctors will often go down that path. So what women need to understand is that the exposure to the chemical estrogens that we have in the environment is that's a small part of what's, really driving the excess of hormones in the body. The pesticides and herbicides are estrogen stimulators. The antiperspirant you put under your armpits has aluminum in it. Aluminum is classified as a metalloestrogen. So is mercury. If you have amalgam fillings in your mouth, and you have a lot of mercury in there, that's classified as a metalloestrogen that's going to drive and mimic estrogen in the body. Lotions and potions you put on your skin, many of those can stimulate estrogen in the body. So you have to eliminate those, and plastic, plastic bottles, if you drink water out of a plastic bottle, that's another very high estrogenic chemical. So eliminate those things, or try to eliminate those things. Learn how to detoxify your body properly. And then find out if you have a problem in methylating or breaking down estrogen. It's a very simple test, a urine test that you can do. Most naturopaths and integrative doctors know about this. It's a urine test, and it will tell you if you're breaking down estrogen properly or not. And if you're not, then you can support that pathway with simple nutrients like broccoli sprouts and flax seeds and cruciferous vegetables and extracts from cruciferous vegetables and omega-3 fatty acids, fish oils, and all that. So there's so many things that you can do to support that whole estrogen pathway and not have to worry about your hormones driving cancer.
Well, that's such an important point, because as soon as women think about breast cancer, especially if they have a diagnosis of estrogen receptor positive, which is a cancer that's been kind of fueled by an estrogen, but it's because you have this impaired ability to deactivate estrogen through the liver. I mean, there are impaired systems that are generating this. It's not estrogen the enemy. And I get really concerned when women are put on these medications afterwards, you know, after all the treatments that shut down these estrogen, selective estrogen receptor modulators that shut everything down, and then they get osteoporosis and their skin dries out. It's like, you know, it's not, if estrogen were the enemy, then all pregnant women who have high levels of estrogen would get cancer, right? So it's
right.
Not a logical
and young
decision.
Women, I mean, every 20-year-old on the planet would have cancer.
Right. So we need to understand the mechanisms, which unfortunately are not explained to women by most of the oncologists that they are seeing.
Correct. You know, the traditional view of treating cancer is to let's cut it out and let's radiate it, and then let's give you poison to make sure that there's no cancer cells left in your body. But what they don't tell you is that that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, you have circulating tumor cells, and you have baby cancer cells or breast cancer stem cells that are resistant to chemotherapy and actually, you know, become worse when you have those treatments of chemotherapy and radiation. And those are the things that cause recurrence, that, you know, you may wake up one day, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and, you know, you've got cancer metastasized somewhere else. So it's very important to understand that cutting out the tumor does not mean that you're cancer-free, and that's such a huge disservice that traditional medicine does to women or people in general when they're dealing with cancer. You know, they do all their you know, hocus-pocus on them and do scans, and they don't see any more tumors, and they tell them they're cancer-free. But that's not true. You have to make sure that, you know, you don't have a high level of circulating tumor cells. You don't have a lot of stem cell markers that are positive that are going to keep driving the cancer, and you have to change your lifestyle, because what caused the cancer in the first place, unless you stop that, you know, chances are that there will be recurrence.
It's such an important point, and women really need to be educated to understand that there are factors, usually many factors, that have kind of, you know, perfect storm have merged to generate this chronic imbalance or dysfunction in the body. And just going and getting whatever treatments doctors recommend and thinking that the job is done is a misunderstanding that, unfortunately, I don't think is fully even understood by the medical model. They just go and do their thing and say, I've done my part and you're on your own now. But there's so much more that needs to be done to ensure that you are truly healed of this imbalance, this dysfunction that has occurred in your body.
That's absolutely true. You know, they're good at crisis care and, you know, patching things up. But when it comes to guiding people with cancer, it's so unfortunate to see what they're telling people. I mean, they're, you know, you walk into a chemotherapy suite, and what do they have available? Cokes and sodas and candies and donuts?
Oh, no.
Which is,
oh, no.
And fueling the cancer that they're trying to kill, because cancer is driven by sugar. It feeds on sugar.
Well, let's explore that a bit more, because you have been doing your own ongoing research into the many factors that can drive this condition that we call breast cancer. So let's understand that connection between sugar and insulin resistance, weight issues, and breast cancer.
Well, we know that cancer cells have, I don't know the exact number, but let's just say twice as many insulin receptor sites in a healthy cell. So when it comes to refined sugars and refined carbohydrates, cancer cells get fed first. And how do we know that? Well, if you know anybody who's had a PET scan, what they do is they get injected with radioactive glucose or sugar, and they let them sit for about 30 minutes, and then they run them through the scan. And what lights up first are the cancer cells, because cancer cells have first dibs when it comes to the sugar. So we know that cancer cells thrive on sugar. They don't breathe oxygen like healthy cells, but they use sugar for their metabolism. So understanding that fact, it's so important that you eliminate all kinds of sugars from your diet, that you eliminate all kinds of carbohydrates. I've always told our clients to not eat any grains whatsoever. Occasionally you can have some quinoa or chia seeds, because those are classified as seeds. They're not so much grains. So in eliminating all those carbohydrates, you are going to reduce your levels of sugar. Now, what happens with obesity, for example, you have something called insulin resistance, where your cells have grown numb to the tapping of the insulin on your cells to bring that sugar in, because you've had so much high levels of insulin in your bloodstream because of all the sugar you're eating. When you become insulin resistant, you can't bring that sugar into your healthy cells, so guess what it's going to feed? The unhealthy cells. Plus, you're creating another hormone called an insulin growth factor, which drives the growth of cells in the body. And so you've got this, you know, cascade of problems that's really driving cancer. Plus, with obesity, especially for women in the abdomen, you have all those fatty cells, which create more estrogen. And there you go. You've got more circulating estrogens in the body. So it's really a cycle that is perpetual unless you stop it. And how do you stop it? Well, a great thing to do is intermittent fasting, where you really cut back on your eating. So let's say you have your last meal at 6 or 7 at night, then you don't eat until noon or 1 the next day. That gives your body a good 18 hours to recuperate and to heal and to digest its food properly. Or if you're really adventurous, you can try fasting, 1 or 2 or 3 or 5 day fast. I'm actually on the third day of a fast myself today. There's a great book out there by Dr. Jason Fung, F-U-N-G, on fasting. And he's a medical doctor, and he's worked with thousands of patients he's reversed type 2 diabetes in many, many people. He's reversed obesity. He's reversed all kinds of diseases by putting people on fast. And it's a great book. It's an easy read. But it's very encouraging and very compelling information.
You know, it's easy to do intermittent fasting. I basically do it. You know, you just have a good dinner, but your discipline is you're not really eating after you have dinner. And, of course, it's not really a good idea, because once the sun goes down, the digestive energy in our body is rapidly reduced. So you're not efficient at digesting food. It can just sit there and become, you know, toxic to the body. So, you know, I find it's really easy. You just, you know, have your last meal and just, you know, make sure there's no food around that you're tempted by, and you know, and then eat again for brunch or whatever. And I've been doing that for quite a while, and basically eating 2 meals a day. It's easy, actually. It's easy when you get into the swing of things.
It's very easy, and if you let's say you want to drink, you know, a good organic coffee or an herbal tea or matcha tea for breakfast, then just add, you know, a teaspoon or two of coconut oil or MCT oil, and that's going to really cut back on your cravings for food, and you'll still have your blood sugar will be low because you're not eating any food really, but that that fat is going to cut back on your cravings for food.
So that's a great strategy for everybody, and I mean that's a strategy that's being used for rejuvenation. If people mm-hmm. just want to, you know, have an anti-aging program, that's one of the most favorable strategies to incorporate in your life. So it has lots of benefits for lots of people.
It does. And, you know, calorie restriction is one of the best things that you can do for longevity. You know, when we look at the amount of food that we eat, the average American eats 6 or 7 times a day. I mean, it's ridiculous. They have snacks between meals, and they're eating before going to bed. But if you really start looking at the amount of food that you're eating, it's pretty interesting to see, because, you know, we eat way too much. We can be satisfied with a lot less if we put less on our plate and just, you know, had a more mindful attitude toward our meals, and chewed our food and just, you know, eat less.
So there are some other support modalities that you've been using, that I've been doing and using as well, that I thought might be helpful for people. And one of them is a technology called the Biomat. You know, I have one. I have given one to my mother, to my brother. Most of my friends are using the Biomats, and I know you've recommended it to the women who are doing your programs, you're counseling with. Do you want to share a little bit about that modality, that technology?
Oh, I love the Biomat. It's part of our protocol. I mean, we recommend it to all our new clients. Because it's such an important part of the healing process. There's some background.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So interestingly, when people have cancer, their basal metabolic temperature, their body temperature, is usually 1 or 1.5 degrees lower than somebody who does not have cancer. And that decrease in body temperature can decrease your immunity by 40%. We know that, I know, it's quite compelling, and that was that from a Japanese doctor who did some research in a hospital with cancer patients, and he uses and recommends the Biomat. You know, what happens is that when our body is in a fight-or-flight mode, you know, we're under stress, and we're just constantly in the vigilant state. Our nerve system has the foot on the accelerator, and when that happens, you know, think of how you would feel if you were being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, for example. You know, your blood rushes to your muscles, it moves away from digestion. You know, you have, you know, poor hydration, poor saliva, your pupils dilate, your nerve system's on alert, your adrenal glands are moving fast. And that's a state of what we call, you know, sympathetic nerve system overtake. You know, your body's in a state of stress. And when that happens, your core temperature, you know, decreases, your thyroid shuts down. And that really decreases the function of your immune cells. It decreases your natural killer cells. And so what the research has shown is that if we can raise the core temperature of our body, even if it's just 1 degree, by an infrared sauna or the Biomat, which offers even more benefits than a sauna, because if you lay on the mat and then you put a mini mat or a smaller mat across your core, you're going to really heat up that core temperature of your body and improve your immune system. And interestingly, as a side note, cancer cells don't like heat. There's a test that I recommend called the RGCC test or the grease test, and they grow your cancer cells in a lab, and they test against, you know, chemotherapy agents and natural extracts, and they also test for hyperthermia, and 99% of the time, it comes back favorable for hyperthermia. They recommend that hyperthermia be done because the cancer cells die from it. They're exposed to it, and they just weaken. They get weakened by it.
You know, that's so important to state because there are clinics around the world, certainly places like Germany, that use this hyperthermia modality to heat the body up or heat areas of the body up in people who are dealing with cancer as a very effective modality for killing cancer cells. A high heat actually suppresses the growth of cancer cells. So, you know, you can try to find one of those clinics and work with some of their modalities, but we have this technology that is called the BioMat, far infrared technology, that is able to help a person raise their core body temperature. And you were saying support the immune system. So do you think that most people who are diagnosed with breast cancer who have low core temperature are dealing for a variety of reasons with some degree of hypothyroidism or sluggish thyroid function?
Yes. It's interesting that women that are on thyroid medication are twice as likely to develop breast cancer than those who are not. So there's a direct correlation. Yeah. And that correlation often is attributed to iodine deficiency, because our thyroid and our breast tissue competes for iodine, and one's going to win over the other. But if you're deficient, you know, both are going to suffer. And if you don't have enough iodine in your cells, then in the breast tissue specifically, it can cause a change in the cell tissue that can become cystic and then fibrocystic and then eventually lead to, you know, neoplastic or cancer cells in the body. And I would have to say that a good 90 to 95% of women who we've tested for iodine levels, which is a simple urine test, have a deficiency in iodine. So absolutely, you know, definitely a connection with the thyroid and breast cancer.
And do you think that being put on thyroid meds is protective or not?
Well, it's putting a Band-Aid on the problem. It's not correcting the cause. You know, iodine deficiency is part of the problem, but then we're also exposed to so many things like we call halides, fluoride, bromide, chloride. And bromide is in everything, all our electronics, all our furniture, carpeting, our cars, and bromide competes with iodine and kicks it out of the body. So if you have a small amount of iodine in your body through your diet, if you're high in bromide, then guess what? You're going to, you know, displace that iodine, and there's definitely, you know, an issue and a correlation there.
Wow. So we want to support our thyroid. We want to use modality something like the BioMat. We want to be able to support our diet, reduce the sugar. What about vitamin D?
Oh, my goodness. If there's one thing that oncologists should be telling women is take your vitamin D, but it's such a shame because they're not testing it. And I've seen women as low as 15 and 20 with their blood tests with vitamin D. And, you know, if you take vitamin D, it reduces your chances of developing breast cancer by 83%. I mean, it's such a powerful hormone. It's not really a vitamin. It's a hormone that the Canadian Cancer Society has made it a must for cancer prevention in that country, that, you know, they really insist that doctors check their patients' vitamin D levels.
Yeah, it's such a critical factor because most people are really deficient. And even if they're taking supplements, they have to get tested because they may not reach optimal levels of vitamin D that really provide protection.
For sure, for sure. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Get tested to make sure that you're getting the proper amount because, you know, you don't know unless you do a blood test.
Absolutely. Let's see. I just want to mention one other thing, and then I want you to talk about some of the programs that you've been developing and the community that you've been creating. So the one other topic I want us to just touch on is the impact from electromagnetic radiation, because I know that concerns you, it concerns me. We have more and more smart meters being put on people's homes. We're getting more wired all the time. So what are your thoughts and your research? What has it shown about that connection?
Oh, my goodness. That's a whole topic unto itself, and it's one I'm very passionate about. I mean, one of the issues that I found with myself is that I was very electrosensitive, and I had no idea I was sensitive to electropollution. But you know, we know that the World Health Organization has classified cell phones and cordless phone radiation as a possible human carcinogen. I mean, that's, for them to make that statement, that's a big deal. And so that's the same category as lead and DDT. It's a class 2B carcinogen. And then you have studies like the Bioinitiative Report, in which 29 independent scientists came together and looked at 10 years of data, and they concluded that EMFs cause DNA damage, it disrupts your immune system, it causes cancer, it causes sleep and memory problems, fertility problems, and, you know, the list goes on and on. So I'm a huge advocate of really being aware of what cell phone and EMFs do to your body. What about Wi-Fi? I mean, you drive down a street and you see 5 different Wi-Fis popping up on your phone. Well, that's affecting your body. There was a real innocent study done, not very scientific, but by ninth graders in, I think it was in Sweden. And they took some seeds and started the sprouting process and put a plate of seeds in a room with Wi-Fi, and then they put another plate of seeds in a room where it was not being affected by Wi-Fi. And guess what happened? After so many days, the plate that had the seeds in the room with Wi-Fi, they all died. They shriveled up and died compared to the one that sprouted and was beautiful. So it's simple, but I think it paints a big picture about what this technology is doing to our body.
Yeah, it's really becoming more and more pervasive. I call it the most dangerous public health disaster that no one knows about. You know, we're blissfully unaware for the most part. You know, so we need to get protection. We need to find technologies that really, really have been proven to be effective. We just can't avoid it any longer. And, you know, when you go into hospitals, everything is Wi-Fi there, right? So these monitors are Wi-Fi, your heart monitors, all the machinery you're living for a period of time in an environment that actually is further compromising the functioning of your body, which is crazy. Just crazy.
Right. Yeah.
So let's talk about the programs you've developed, Dr. V. And I think it's really important that women know about what you are doing and your services, and you have a new program that is an online program. So please share with us what you have created and how you are supporting women with breast on this breast cancer journey.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, for many years I did coaching one-on-one, and then I realized I couldn't help as many women as I wanted to reach. So then I certified a couple of coaches, and so they're doing all the coaching now. And then my vision was to be able to reach more women, as many as possible, and that came through the idea of creating an online course. The online course that I created is called Never Fear Breast Cancer Again, and it has over 50 videos. It has over 8 hours of instruction, so it's like me as your coach for 8 hours, but you can do it in the privacy of your home. the videos are 5 to 10 minutes long, so they're short, and you can, if all you can do is 10 minutes, great. You know, you've moved the needle forward. And we're getting ready to launch that on Sunday, July 23rd, so this coming Sunday. And another big goal that I had was to create a community with these women, because so many of them feel like the Lone Ranger. You know, they may not have family that supports them in their choice of natural medicine, or maybe they're doing traditional medicine, but they want to add some natural medicine with it. And so they really feel alone and don't know what to do. And I started a retreat called the Healing Diva Retreat. We meet once a year. This is the third year now. And it's so heartwarming, because we see women that come together, that get each other, they understand each other, they become quote unquote best friends. And you know, some of them, you know, have made friends that, you know, to this day they still talk on the phone every week. So it's a time when you can really devote to yourself. It's, you know, we take a deep dive into the 7 essential system. We spend a lot of time on the emotional work. We do some EFT. We do group exercises. So it's really a lot of fun to get all these women together. So that's happening September 24th through 27th in Atlanta at a spa resort, which is really nice in North Atlanta. And we're excited because it's filling up, and we have still just a couple of months left to go, but things are moving fast.
And how do people find out about that event?
Well, you can go to the website healingdivaretreat.com, or you can go to my website breastcancerconqueror.com and just fill out a form, and you'll get some information on the event.
I know that one of the most powerful healing tools for women dealing with chronic illnesses, breast cancer being, of course, one of them, is community. That social networks that reinforce positive, just a positive energy is a critical component of healing of breast cancer. And that's why your work is so important, because people are coming to get, women are coming together and supporting each other in a loving, positive way and accepting each other. And you have to create an environment wherever you may be, whether you come to the retreats or not, that basically facilitate the opportunity to be around a group of people that totally unconditionally love and accept you.
That is so well said. It really is, because, you know, it's such a traumatic thing. I mean, you think of cancer and you want to think about a torturous, slow death, but that's often what comes to mind. So you really have to create that healing mindset and trust and know that your body has the ability to heal if you do the right things. And so support is such an important part of the healing process.
Especially around people who support the choices you've made, because so many women are choosing to go down a path other than the orthodox way and are not supported. I mean, their family members are well-intentioned, but they don't believe in any other way. And so there's all this conflict and guilt and sometimes animosity that's created when you're not supported in the choice that you've made.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's unfortunate.
Right. Now you have another online program as well that you're launching?
Yes. Never Fear Breast Cancer Again, the online course. It's an e-course that I just mentioned that has 50 videos and 8 hours of instruction from me. And right. It's like having me as their coach. And it's, it's really, really great. I mean, we've spent a lot of time putting this together, and it's a deep dive into the 7 essentials with action steps and resource pages and checklists and everything to help you move the needle to make sure that you're making progress. And We'll be launching that on Sunday. And again, if you go to the website, breastcancerconqueror.com, and sign up for the newsletter, you'll get some information on the e-course that's coming out on Sunday.
So it's great. So you have all these, you've been developing all of these vehicles to support women, whether it's an online program that gives them tremendous amount of depth, that supports your book, The Seven Essentials, and all that you are continually research. I know you're always looking and exploring what's the latest, greatest thing on the horizon, or the opportunity to actually be with you and this support team you've created and the wonderful women that come to have that community, personal touch that's going on when people get together. And because there's always magic, there's always miracles that happen when people get together with an intention to support and heal. So I just really acknowledge you because I know how much hard work goes into creating these programs, and you're just really there developing some of the best programs out there in the world right now. So, kudos to you, Dr. V, because I know you're passionate and you are dedicated in building a bigger and bigger platform to do your work, which is so needed right now.
Well, thanks, Dr. Cheryl. It's definitely a labor of love, for sure, but it's just something that I feel really compelled to do. I mean, how could I not help these women who are so desperately needing that support?
So we're kind of coming to the end of this interview. Time goes really quickly. Are there a few other tips or areas that we didn't get to cover that you would like to share with everyone before we have to go?
I think, the parting words would be one of my favorite proverbs is, just when the caterpillar thought the world was over, it became a butterfly. Because so many of us are stuck in that cocoon sometimes where it's dark and we're afraid and we don't know what the next step is. But if you trust the laws of the universe, you trust the laws of nature, you trust your body's ability to heal, you trust yourself to be able to make really good decisions, then you will come out on the other side of this journey a happier and healthier you.
And that's so encouraging because people don't see it when they're in the middle of it. We can't. That's really a difficult thing to see, how we ever will get to the other side and look back and be grateful because of how it has been a process that has allowed our life to be much richer than we could ever have imagined.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the areas of concern that I have is the growing incidence of breast cancer showing up in younger and younger women. Are you encountering that?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It is really, really sad. I mean, I think the youngest person that I dealt with was 19 years old. And it's just, you look at the hormones in dairy products, you look at the hormones in commercially processed meats, you look at, the plastics that they're, drinking out of the water bottles, you look at all the gunk that they're putting on their skin, the antiperspirants, and, they've got compromised liver already because of all the toxins in the environment. And so, then you throw in birth control pills on top of that. It's a serious problem.
And do you have these young women coming to your retreats as well?
In general, it's been mostly women that are probably between 30 to 60. So, we haven't had any young women attend, but I've definitely worked with some in the past.
Several years ago, I actually wrote a book that was addressing the growing incidence of breast cancer in young women, because when I was traveling around Australia, when I was living in Australia, after I wrote my first book, Hormone Heresy, I was encountering more and more people who were coming up to me telling me that their young teenage 20-year-old daughters were developing or diagnosed with breast cancer. Some of these women were contacting me directly. It was such an alarming discovery to see these young women having this diagnosis, because as we know, breast cancer was never supposed to be a disease that showed up in young women, and yet now we have a growing number of women under the age of 40 who are being diagnosed with breast cancer. It's like everything we've been doing wrong is catching up with younger and younger generations of women.
Yes, it is. It's compounding. And interestingly, you know, when a mother is pregnant, what she does and how she feeds her body is going to affect, you know, this little embryo, this little fetus that's growing, eventually, you know, will have all kinds of chemicals in it and whatever else the mother did while she was pregnant. I mean, we know that children are born with hundreds of carcinogenic chemicals in their bodies.
I know, and what really concerned me was that the younger a woman is diagnosed, the more aggressive the type of breast cancer she will have, and the, you know, more difficult it is to really recover, and then all the consequences to her fertility and overall health if she goes through the traditional orthodox treatments. So, you know, my heart really goes out to this, you know, this unfortunate growing population of young women. And that's why it's so important to educate and to, you know, clean up the environment, clean water, clean food, eat organically, you know, eat the right foods that support the body, get the vitamin D measured, get off the hormones. I just want to say that not too long ago, I interviewed a woman named Dr. Francoise Faron. And she was a PhD biochemist, and Dr. Faron has developed a non-hormonal contraceptive that has just, I was just told yesterday that they did some studies on her gel that immobilizes the sperm. It doesn't kill it. They just get immobilized in this gel-like product that is inserted in the vagina, and they cannot go up the fallopian tube. So they did some research with her product in Israel and videotaped the process in the lab, showing without a doubt that it is maintaining, it stops these sperm from being able to move. It immobilizes them and they get stuck in the vagina rather than up the fallopian tube. So I've been a big advocate of her work, because to be able to find a safe, effective, non-hormonal contraceptive is very rare, very rare. So this is exciting, and there's more research. And if people are interested, it's called Smart Women's Choice. That's the name of the website, name of the product, Smart Women's Choice. And I just encourage women to check it out, because it's something we've been looking for a really long time. So I don't know whether you're aware of it, Dr. V, but I've just written an article about it. I was so impressed with this as an option and a way to support women with another alternative that will not cause them harm.
Awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah. So we just have a minute or two left. Do you have a last word you'd like to share with everyone before we have to end our conversation today?
Well, I would say, you know, you don't have to fear cancer. I know that big picture and the big scheme of things, cancer looks really scary. But if you understand what cancer is and what drives it, then you can disarm it and disable it. And if you understand the root cause of the cancer in your body, things that perhaps need to change in your lifestyle, then that's the good news. You can change those things, and you can create a more favorable environment for your immune system and a less favorable environment for cancer cells.
And that's, you know, that's so much wisdom. Thank you so much. And I really encourage everyone to read The Seven Essentials, because it's not only Dr. V's, you know, seminal work on all the key pieces that are part of addressing breast cancer, but also the key pieces to prevent breast cancer. So we need to get educated. We need to make the changes now in our life before anything ever eventuates. And, you know, you've just put the best information together, Dr. V, and I want to acknowledge you again for that fantastic book that really covers those most vital areas all together under one cover. So I definitely think that's one of the best books out there. It's called The Seven Essentials. And I also invite everybody to go over to Dr. V's website, breastcancerconqueror.com. Would that mm-hmm. be the best place to send people, Dr. V?
That would be the best place. And okay. that way they can learn about the retreat, and they can also learn about the online course, and then they can also download my book for free, because we're working on the second edition right now since so many things have changed in 3 years. If wow. you just go to breastcancerconqueror.com/free, then you can wow. download the whole book, Heal Breast Cancer Naturally, for free.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, hope everybody goes and runs over to your website and downloads your book for free. That's fantastic. And then we wait for the new version to come out. So thank you, Dr. V, again, for your time, for your work, for the wonderful inspiration you are to women all over the world. It's always such a pleasure and honor to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cheryl. It's likewise, and thank you so much for sharing my message of hope with your audience.
My honor. Thank you so much. And to all of you listening, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me on another journey of greater health and well-being. And as I always like to say, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.